If you know God to be awesome, somebody ought to say amen. If you know him as a provider, say amen. If you know him as a keeper, say amen. Now you ought to find yourself somewhere. Anybody serve an awesome God today? Oh, he's awesome. Oh, he's awesome. He's an awesome God. You know it to be true. Come on, give God the praise and give him the glory. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, bless the Lord today. Come on, come on, come on, bless his holy name today. Come on, give him praise today. Come on, bless his name today. He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all glory. He's an awesome God. Oh, come on, come on. Let's celebrate him today. Let's celebrate the Lord today because of who he is. Because of who he is. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, awesome is just one word to describe who you are and what you have done. As we come today to preach your awesome word, may it bless your people in an awesome way. And when it's all said and done, we'll give your name the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless the Lord today. I want to share from 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, verses 34 and 35. It reads, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought. And stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame." I want to preach today from the sermonic title, "Got to Give It Up, Unproductive and Toxic Relationships." Got to give it up, unproductive, demeaning, toxic relationships. I can hear the tape in my head even now of my parents saying to me, "You got to mind the crowd that you hang with." Well, your mom and dad have said the same thing. Yeah. Be sure that you keep the family name intact.
That's right. That's right.
That person you're hanging with, they're up to no good. They're shady. They're trouble. And we couldn't understand this because these were our friends, our homeboys and our homegirls. But yet, from the eye of a parent, they could see whether or not that, that they would mount to anything. They wouldn't say mount. They would say that boy ain't going to mount to nothing. But they were still our friends. And much like you, I heard it over and over and over again. Yeah. I didn't say, "Ma, I hear you." I just received it. Amen. And then the night came as we left the football game, the East End boys, heading back across town, across the track. We got near the rec center and somebody had the idea they were to throw rocks at the rec center. Now, Timmy didn't do it, but I was with the crowd. And it wasn't long before a police officer showed up and gave us a real talking. But at that moment, I could hear Mama and Daddy saying, "Mind the crowd that you hang with." Now, granted, to my knowledge, none of those brothers went to jail. They led productive lives, but there was a lesson to be learned. I came across a blog this week that really blessed me. It is in that same vein as Mom and Daddy. It says, "Choose people who will make you want to improve and thrive, not ones who will give permission to be complacent, small-minded, big mouth, choose to spend time with people who use their words wisely, which in turn will cause you to do the same. There are just some things you have to give up, and they are some people you have to give up. Amen? There's some relationships that do you no good. And only when we realize that and look back, we realize that, you know, that was not healthy. That was not good for me. But I had to come to realize it for myself. And that's why most of us, as we get older, have a very small circle of friends. Amen? Amen. That folk really are not your friend. There's a small circle. And our text today is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church at Corinth about the importance of putting distance between themselves and those who were leading unproductive and toxic lives. And over again, almost weekly it seems, we're talking about those who were false prophets. There were people at the church at Corinth who were going around saying that the resurrection is not real. That Jesus didn't really get up out of the grave. That is the cornerstone of our faith. That not that God sent Jesus only, but that he died and he rose again on the third day. But there were folk who were even Christian folk at Corinth, because Corinth by now was a major city. It was a Baltimore, it was a port town. It was a place that had it going on. And you have to always be tuned in, it sounds like a broken record, to what you are hearing. Anybody talking that kind of talk, you better watch out. And Paul is saying, if they're denying the resurrection, that's not the kind of relationship that you want to have with them. If that is the case, if Jesus did not get up, then what we preach every Sunday is in vain. If Jesus did not get up, our faith is futile. If Jesus did not get up from the grave, we are really lost in our sins and we're heading straight to hell. And yet there were those saying, oh, he didn't really get up. If anybody says that to you, say, excuse me. For a minute, bro. I got a call coming in. Make sure that you separate yourself from that kind of knowledge. He was writing to the Christians who had come really under peer pressure. And peer pressure is not just for teenagers. It's not for middlers. That all of us run the risk of being influenced by someone else. Amen? And we run the risk of falling, yet realizing there's a need then for God's favor. In the end, we're being pointed toward our future. So let's look at the first verse. It says, do not be misled. That by itself. The fall came there in the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve were misled. The lie of the devil was that you can go ahead and eat whatever you want to eat and you'll be all right. It all began with a lie. And we all know some lying people. Yeah, we do. Even when you hear, you say, well, you know, that's not true. You know it when you hear it. And once you begin to get into your sense of studying and learning the word of God, you'll know that it's not true. But the devil is still lying. He's still misleading. The Bible says he is the father of lies. Be sure that you don't find yourself hanging out with folk like that who seek to mislead you. And sometimes we want to be misled. You can't blame the person. We just go along on what they're saying. Why? We have no friends anyway. So we just, you know what? And that's not to judge anyone per se. But make sure that when you come in contact with folk, know that they could be leading you down the wrong road. Ever follow somebody that said, just follow me, dog. Just come on, follow me. And you missed a light or two and you didn't know where they were going. Amen? This is before cell phone days. Yeah. Take a left at the corner store and then take a right. You'll see a church and take another left. But folk have misled us and we've allowed them to mislead us. And what that does, it leads to our falling out of grace. Paul says, bad company corrupts good character. There it is. Mama and them knew. Mind the company that you keep. These were not Paul's words. These were words from a Greek poet, Menander. And this is something they were familiar with. But Paul says, bad company, hanging out with shady folk, folk who say stuff that don't even come from the Bible, and I may be able to make you laugh. I'm not telling you the Madea movie, because in every Madea movie, he messed up scripture intentionally. Amen? He'll put Moby Dick with Noah, or he'll do anything. And so anybody start talking like that, separate yourself. That's bad company. Amen? Jesus knew about bad company because in his circle was Judas. Iscariot. Someone who was about being misled all for some silver. Yet Jesus is one who loves us in spite of ourselves. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, well, do what? We've got to be sober. And diligent, because your adversary, the devil, is always like a roaring lion, seeing whom he might devour.
Yeah.
So an unproductive and toxic relationships can lead us down the wrong path. But at any point, like the Greyhound bus back in the day or the city bus, hit the button. So I want to get off. Some of y'all rode the bus. I mean, I didn't ride many buses, but I rode the bus. And the only way you know, you just got to hit the button, right? Say, I want to get off here. And when you're in those relationships, just reach over and say, Lord, I need to get out of this. Yeah. It's not good for me. It's not productive for me. But even as Paul writes to the church about this issue, there's some hope in this. Is that we can still receive the favor of God. Verse 34 says, come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. Because he was writing to the church. Those who were converted under him, but it picked up some bad theology along the way. And he was saying to them and to those who were associating with them, come back to your senses. You've lost your mind. Amen?
Amen.
And to be approved of God is to have the favor of God. It is to have the grace of God. Yes. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for it is by grace you've been saved. Through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest anyone can boast. I want the favor of God on my life. Amen. You don't have to give me a seal of approval. I want to make sure that I'm doing it God's way. I want to be approved by God. Anybody in the house feel that way? That folk may not like you. That's your problem. They may say, well, he used to hang with us. That's their problem. I want the favor of God in my life. I want to do what's going to please God. And I may just shake a few people off. Amen? That I've got to give up not just candy and alcohol and lying and cheating, but give up people. Some folks you got to give up. Some behaviors you got to give up. It's not productive for you. Paul says, you know better. Come to your senses. You've lost, what'd your mama tell you? Your everlasting mind.
Yeah.
You ought to know when something don't feel right. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. To reveal, like a smoke alarm, that something is wrong with this.
Yeah.
I want the favor of God in my life. It is an offer to change our ways. To do what we know is right under God. Paul had taught them the truth, but they had swayed in a real way. They wanted to believe a lie. And sometimes we want to believe a lie, even though we know it's not true. And that's what Jesus preached. That was his whole message. Do what? From that time, he began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That these are important times. It's not a time for you to be flirting with the world. Not a time for you to be compromising. Now, you can reach somebody for Christ, but make sure what they're believing don't get a hold of you. Does this make sense this morning? I'm not saying just be, shy away from people in general. Now, don't say that now. No, but when you go, make sure you're armed. That you got the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. Don't go half-cocked. Make sure when you go, you've got something to work with. But by the same token, you ought to know when something does not sound right. When somebody is leading you the wrong way. And just saying that there's no resurrection, that's strong enough. But even this is a word for the modern age. If it's not resurrection, there's still some things that ought not sit right with us. Oh, we've compromised and laughed and went along with it, but it doesn't sit right with our spirit. I got to give some of this stuff up. Those fake relationships. It's a choice we make. But I'm so glad that there's a future in Christ. The latter part of that 34th verse says, for them, or for there are some who are ignorant of God. Shame on you. You ought to be embarrassed to be taking part in some stuff. I'll just go out and say this. I've been embarrassed by some stuff. I've been shamed. But thank God I can go to him in prayer. Say, Lord, that was not a good move. I shouldn't have been involved in that. Amen. Don't get me wrong, Pastor. What is it? No, just bad company. Amen. I have no juicy details. Just bad company. And when you're with bad company will lead you to do things that you don't want to do. Oh, I could stay right there all by itself. But I'm all right. No, you're not all right. You're with bad company. And bad company is bad company. Why? You were bad company at one point. Thank be to God. But look at how he writes this. Come back to your senses as you ought. Stop sinning. And then there's a semicolon. Which means there's a pause. My grandmother used to say, if you can do better, do better. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Just have a whole different group of folk that you hang with. Paul says, we have to not waste our time. There ought to be introspection in our own lives about what it is that we have become a part of. God has a plan for us. He has a future for us. Aren't you glad where he's brought you thus far? Yeah. Amen? Had it not been for the Lord on your side, and look at you now. The world thinks you done made it. But it's because of the Lord on your side. Jeremiah says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper. You didn't make the plan. It's God's plan. And so even out of where you were, God can still put you at a new place. You're not lost to that kind of thinking. God can bring you out and give you a productive life, bring you out, and put you around the right kind of people. Amen? Yeah. It was my M.O. in high school. I was an okay student. Go check my records now. But I would hang out at the library with the smart guys. I knew what to do. I almost got kicked out a couple of times because I was talking too much. But I hung out with the guys who were going to be lawyers. Hung out with the doctors. I mean, I was hanging out with the guys who were honor students. I was in the right crowd. And find yourself today with the right crowd, folk who are doing something, amen? Folk who are going somewhere in the Lord. Praise be to God. Have an inner circle. And make sure that Christ is that circle. That even when your mother and father forsake you, then the Lord will take you up. Jesus warned time and time again, watch out that no one deceives you. Matthew 24:4. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. All goes back to bad company. We may find it hard to give up people. But I've known them for a long time. Do I just go cold turkey? Do I just not call them back? Begin to pray and to begin to influence them in the Lord. See, folk know that we are in church and saved, but they don't see any difference in us. We laugh at the dirty jokes. We tell the dirty jokes. We do things that the world is doing, so there's no respect for us. Oh my God, I believe in the manuscript. So folk would just say, well, it's just a, you know, nobody say, oh, they like everybody else in the world, but not of the world. So we must embrace the promises of God.
Yeah.
So I close today, I think about David. If there was ever one who had a real life of trouble and God taking him back and messing up again. God used folk like that all through the Bible. But David says in Psalm 121, he says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy feet to be moved. Behold, he that keepeth thee will not stumble. But can I just move down? He says, the Lord will preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. He shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Can I translate that? He will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. See, you can't even keep yourself, neither can I. But to be kept by Jesus, to know that I'm on the Lord's side, to know I'm in the Lord's corner, to know that I'm the Lord's child, makes a huge difference. That's being productive. That's being on a path of righteousness, all because he died. He died that I might be in the right circle. He rose that I might do what stay with him forevermore. So there's just some stuff that you got to just give up. Just go cold turkey today. And just let folk know, you know what, I'm trying to do better. Folk don't want to hear that. Say, no, man, I've been messing up with you, but I'm trying to do better. Anybody trying to do better? Old song says, Lord, I'm running and I'm trying to make 100. But 99 and a half won't do. My God, anybody shooting for 100% today that I'm trying to change my life? I'm trying to do better, but every now and then I got to step over some of the corpses and some of the bodies in my life, people who mean me no good. Why? They just space. But thank God for Jesus. Find yourself in Christ's inner circle, in his inner court. That is the word of God today. It's already blessed. Come on, give God some praise today. Unpredictable, unproductive relationships. People, places, things that will stunt your growth. We're all guilty of walking on the edge just enough to fit in. Grown folk want to be accepted. Everybody want a cool reverend. Reverend, you cool. I can't get too cool. If I'm too cool, I'm not effective. If I'm too high five, I'm not doing my job. If I'm laughing too much and joking too much, then I got to make sure that in that, I keep Christ in the context. I ain't say be boring, but make sure that you know who it is that has called you. Come to Jesus. He's available today. Come. Just now. Just now. Come. Here's why that's so important. He will save you. He will. Yes, he will. I'm a witness today. You. Just. As I prepared this sermon and begin to think in my own life, are there some relationships that you are part of that may not be productive? Yeah. I took inventory and said, you can do a little better with that. And here, you got to improve upon. And the Christian life is really about improving and getting better. None of us always get it right. I ain't said go to work Monday, all said you don't talk to nobody. What's wrong with you? Pastor said leave y'all alone. I didn't say that. I'm just saying don't be misled. Amen? And don't tell them they're bad company. Don't do that. Just say, I'm okay. I'm all right. Yeah. But think about that. We try to fit in sometimes. If you've come today, the Lord Jesus Christ is still calling. You may have come and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ. Never made a commitment. That can happen right now. On the spot. Bible says you can confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, when I kind of grasped that as an adult, man, that thing really made sense to me. That you mean if I just say unto him, I'm a sinner, if I just say, that's it. I'm talking to the Lord. I'm a sinner in need of salvation. I believe that you sent your son. I get that. I believe that he died. I believe that he, there it is again, resurrection, that he rose again. The Bible says, if you confess that and believe it in your heart, that you shall be saved today. Father, we thank you right now in this house. We pray that you might touch our lives, that your word will not come back void. Touch that soul today. Encourage us, dear God, to live better. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a praise today.